This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, wow, it is the season for great books, and I am so happy that at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to be talking about a Christmas book that is just very, very special, and it is called The Truth About Mrs. Claus. And it's written by Mina Harris, and she will join me at the bottom of the hour. But right now, you know, I know everybody's getting up north. They're going to be in the snow, and they're going to be snug and tucked into their cozy chairs, and they need a good book to read, because when you are freezing, it is wonderful to read a suspense book, because it gives you that little thrill that you need to keep you turning the pages. And I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper. You know, when I got this, I was so sorry. I had missed this author because I had a scheduling problem, and I am so happy that Terry Parlato was able to join me today so that we can talk about her book, All the Dark Places, and it is really a riveting novel of suspense, and it does have a shocking twist, so it's just so nice to have you on the show, Terry. Hi.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Well, I'm glad that we finally got together because it's just perfect because in this book, it starts with a snowy night, a cold and snowy night, and lot of people are going to be in that. Even here, we're going to have 36 degrees here in Florida next week for Christmas, so everybody's going to be tucked in and they need a good book to read. So I think they're going to enjoy this book, which is full of suspense. And as I said, it's called All the Dark Places. And is it true that this is your first book?
It's my first published book, but I've been writing stories for more than 50 years, actually. I've got manuscripts piled all over my office, my basement, my attic. So I've been writing for a very long time.
But it's always that first one that gets published. That's it. It's the start.
Right.
It's the start of what I am sure are going to be many, many more books. Because what I loved about this book, as I said, it starts in a cold night, and there's a party, and there's snow, and you manage to paint a really great picture. You take your reader right there. We feel it. And it's, this is the important thing. When a reader starts to think that, they're there. They're right there at the party. And I thought it was just a great start. And I was so happy when I was thinking about it, your first book, and how very happy you must be today. I know.
I am.
It's a thrill, isn't it?
It is. It is so thrilling after all these years that, it was kind of like this dream that was way out there after all my, professional life, my family life, and all that, that this has actually happened. It's so exciting.
And that it is, in effect, a police procedural, which is not an easy thing to write. And so it was interesting that, you got into this idea, and you developed a very fascinating character, your main character, who, it's always great when you have a main character that people can grab onto. So tell us about her, and tell us about, with a suspense book, it's always hard to say what you're going to tell, but tell me what you want to explain.
Would you like me to talk about my detective or...
Your detective. The detective.
Okay.
Because I think we're going to see a lot of her over the next few years.
I hope so. I really hope so. Yes, I love Rita. When I started this book, I wanted a detective who was at least 60 years old. I'm in my lower 60s. My friends, most of them, are about the same age, and it's like, we're not ready to retire. We're not ready to, say that, we've lived our lives or whatever. But so I loved creating Rita. She's strong. She's vibrant. She's attractive. She's, vital. She's, not ready to step into the shadow. So that was really important to me.
That's what I thought, too. I thought when I was reading Rita Myers, wow, I thought, this is great. We have somebody who I know that all the suspense-loving readers will appreciate, and you're right. Mm. At 60, who's 60? Today's 60 is yesterday's 40, so.
Right. I love creating Rita's character, and, I hope that she has many more crimes to solve. It was helpful to me. I'm in a writer's group and have been for a while, and one of our group members is a former police officer, so that was very helpful in writing Rita.
And good resource.
And he's a young man, too, so it's like, okay, well, if this young man can appreciate this 60-year-old woman, then, you know, I think other people will like her, too.
I do, and I like the idea that she looks on it with the new partner as an opportunity not just to solve a crime, but also to teach a young guy or a young gal the ropes. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was important, too, that, she's an expert. She's got lots of experience, and it seemed kind of a natural thing for her to want to nurture younger detectives and police officers.
So here we have a dark and snowy night, and mm-hmm. we have a crime. And the story is told in alternate people. You have, mm-hmm. of course, Rita, and then you have Molly, who, now, uh-huh. what do you want to explain, and how much do you want to give away? Don't give away the twist.
That's always tough when you're talking about mysteries and suspense.
In a way, I hate even to say what's going to happen after the party. I know. You know, they put it on Amazon and they'll say...
Right, you see it there, yeah.
But I actually never read those until uh-huh. after I've read the book. I never read the blurbs.
Uh-huh.
I never read what's on any of the, you know... Amazon or anything. I don't want to know. It comes as a surprise. And you're good at that. I mean, you are very good at just, you have a nice style that you give enough away that we know something's going to happen, but we're not sure what's going to happen. But I suppose, I don't know, nowadays you have to tell people, I suppose. I don't know. I'm against it, but you tell people what you want to tell.
Well, like you said, I kind of don't want to know either when I pick up a book. I'd like to be totally surprised. So I'm the kind of reader, too, who I don't really read much about a book before I pick it up because I'm the same way. As far as Molly goes, I just guess want people to know that she's a woman who has been through a lot of trauma. And, of course, when the book gets going, she's going to go through even more trauma. But I wanted to write a book about, from her perspective, a woman who is just dealing with not only present trauma, but past trauma as well. So I don't know if that gives you
Yeah,
enough.
I think that I like that better. I like that because you're right. The past trauma is also very relevant to the story. And, mm-hmm. and I like the way that you build it up, the way that you throw in... You know, it's not easy to... keep a book suspenseful, and I think you've mm-hmm. done a pretty good job at that. And it's it's important.
Thank you. Yeah, it is tough. You know, you want to keep the reader interested and trying to figure it out. And yeah, it's hard to figure out how to place those clues without giving the game away. You know, you want to bring the reader through all of those pages and not figure it out in the second chapter.
Well, now you were a teacher for many years, right?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. you taught writing?
I did.
So, you know, when... What authors influenced you? And I'm talking about not modern authors, but authors from the past. When you were teaching your students, what authors were the big influence on your life and your writing?
Well, if we want to go way back, because I've been a reader as long as I can remember, and a writer at 5 years old, the first book that really, really spoke to me and made me want to be a writer was Little Women. I wanted to be Jo March. I thought that, wow, that's what I want to do. You know, she wrote to, as Louisa May Alcott did as well, you know, she wrote to support her family. You know, I just thought, this is incredible. I want to be Joe March. So that was my first big literary influence.
As it was then, mine.
I think a lot of us, I think that's one reason that book is so special, is that, you know, for those of us who are big readers and writers, I think most of us were inspired by Joe March. Let's see. I think another one of my big influences, at least as I go through my life, in high school was The Catcher in the Rye. I love that book, and I love teaching it because I got to teach it in high school. And as far as looking into the psychology of a character, I think that's one of the best books that we have that explores psychology. And I'm big on that. And I think you see that some in All the Dark Places.
Yes, definitely. I got that. Now, you know, one of the things I've been sort of asking women who did start reading at a young age, if sort of, is it Jane Austen or Charlotte Bronte or Emily Bronte, which one spoke to you as a young person?
That's hard to say. I loved Wuthering Heights. Love Jane Eyre, you know, and
it's hard.
Pride and Prejudice. I mean, yeah, I mean, all of them were just, all of those books, I think, spoke to me in different ways. And I haven't read them again recently, but I need to.
You need to. I've just done it again, and I thought, and I'm thinking about what we thought about them as young women, well, as girls, mm-hmm. really, because we read them. I'm sure you read them when you were very young. And
yeah,
which
yeah.
of the men we thought were the best? Which ones we uh-huh. liked? Were we Darcy? Were we, you know, were
right,
Heathcliff?
Right.
Were we Rochester? And what we feel about them today? Because when mm-hmm. you read about them, when you reread the books, you know, I think so many young women were crazy about Darcy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I was always Jane Eyre. I was always
uh-huh.
that was
yeah.
my book.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love Jane Eyre. Yep, and yeah, and I do need to read them again because it's been a while.
Now, you know, when you were teaching, did you? I don't know how long ago you stopped teaching, but I really wish young women and guys, I wish that they would just read more, but particularly mm-hmm. these books, because.
Yeah.
You don't get it in the movies. I mean, you don't get that
right.
thrill. You can see the
right.
movies and they go out of your head. But when you read
right.
the book, mm-hmm. I remember the day that I took Louisa May Alcott out of the library.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the exact day because mm-hmm. it was my first time I had been in a library because I mm-hmm. we had moved to the city. My big sister took me to the library and to the children's room, and I started mm-hmm. at A. I started
uh-huh.
and I read uh-huh. all around the room.
Oh, wow.
And I remember the day that I took Little Women. And still, I can sometimes see the words on paper. It mm-hmm. had such an impact, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I finished teaching in 2017. And yeah, I mean, I love teaching. I love, you know, I love the literature, of course. And one of my favorite things was bringing some of that literature to life for my students. They don't read as much as we would like them to read. But I think part of it is because no one has showed them how to read, how to, you know, decipher the language, you know, because I taught, you know, The Scarlet Letter. I mean, that was written a very long time ago. And of course, the style is very different from what kids get in the novels they read today. And I think what was so important, and I like to express this to the other teachers, I was department chair for a while, is you've got to decipher the language, you've got to give them the historical background, and let them know, like, The Scarlet Letter is about a single mom who people talk about, you know, things that are really that we can relate to today, that the kids can relate to. And if they don't understand the language either, they don't get that Nathaniel Hawthorne was hilarious. There, you wouldn't think that's a Scarlet Letter, but there are some hilarious scenes. And once I kind of explained to the kids, and I read out loud, I encouraged all English teachers, read out loud so they can hear it jump off the page. And, you know, when they could hear those scenes and visualize those scenes, it really made a difference. If you just hand a kid a 200-year-old novel and say, here, go read it on your own and answer these questions and whatever, they're not going to, it's not going to work.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, you are fantastic, because that's exactly the attitude I want from teachers, which unfortunately we don't get a lot. I think you got the right idea. And I think what I, as I was reading, you know, all the dark places, I had this feeling that you have, well, I mean, I know that you have depth. There's depth in your writing. You understand words. You understand how to tell a story. And I, you know, I didn't want to give it away. I didn't want to give away what happens. I really think people get this book. It's called All the Dark Places. And it is just very well written. And Terry, I think you've got your main character. We're going to be seeing a lot of Rita in the future. You have to remember that Mary Higgins Clark was writing until she was 89 years old, and she was on my program. And you have got a lot of years ahead of you and a lot of books in this series, which is going to be, I think, a very popular series. So I want to tell people to get this book. It's great for a cold winter night. You snuggle down, you take this book out, and you will have a good read. And in talking to you, I do want to recommend to you, because I think not everybody will understand what I'm saying here, but you have the right attitude. And there is somebody on the internet called Benjamin McAvoy. I don't know if you've listened to him, but he does exactly what you say. He explains, before you read the book, he gives an explanation. He's British. He's brilliant. He's from Oxford. And his name is Benjamin McAvoy. Check him out. And I wish everybody would check him out. I am working. I'm rereading Proust with him. You know, all those. And he takes us through the steps. And it's wonderful. And I think that, you know, Terry, I think you will just love it, and I think a lot of my other listeners will love it. But Terry Parlato, the name of the book is All the Dark Places. It's her first book. She didn't give up. People listen. She wrote and wrote and wrote, and finally it happens. These things happen, and this is, for you, a Christmas miracle, right?
It surely is, and I'm so excited, and I'm so grateful to everyone.
Well, I think you've done a great job, and I want everybody to get this book. And do you have a website you want people to go to yet?
It's terryparlato.com.
Okay, terryparlato.com. And you'll be back next year, because now that you've got this book out, I'm sure you're working on the second one, right?
I am.
I knew it. When I felt the enthusiasm in your writing. And I said to myself, she's not giving this character up. Okay?
Thank you so much, Patsy. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Okay. It's been a joy to talk to you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We're going to have a book buzz from Bria Burton, because I love this book buzz. And then I'm going to invite the author to come on the program, too. So let's go ahead.
Hello, fellow sci-fi readers. This is author Bria Burton reporting for Joy on Paper with your science fiction book buzz. Today's communique to galaxies near and far includes a 2022 Goodreads Choice nominee, The Mother Code by Carol Stivers, with stellar narration by Sonila Nankani. The 2020 release is available in print, ebook, and audiobook. Now, let's download the book buzz. A virus decimates populations all over the world, and a team of U.S. military tech experts execute a plan to save humankind from extinction. Their solution involves genetically altered embryos immune to the virus and artificially intelligent mothers who can carry and deliver the babies. In the event of human extinction, these mothers must be programmed to raise the only hope for the future. A colonel's fateful misstep changes the course of humanity, and the dual timeline fast forwards to a harsh desert region where a robot mother called Rosie raises a child who knows no mother but her. As the past and future collide, a new set of challenges emerge, a battle for human survival and the unexplored bond between a child and his AI mother. This thought-provoking and richly scientific debut novel grapples with questions of motherhood while exploring human survival in a post-pandemic world, creating a cathartic experience for readers. Author Carol Stivers received her PhD in biochemistry from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and went on to postdoctoral work at Stanford University before launching a career in medical diagnostics. Her combined love of writing and her fascination with the possibilities of science brought to life her first novel. This is Bria Burton with your futuristic fiction fix, signing off.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With the Z, and I am back, and in a little while I'm going to be talking to Mina Harris about her beautiful book. I'm holding it up to the camera for anyone who's watching on YouTube. It is so glittery and shiny and beautiful. It is called The Truth About Mrs. Claus. It is a beautiful book, and it reminded me that I wanted to talk to everyone about being, well, Santa Claus or Mrs. Claus. You can be a secret Santa and a secret Mrs. Claus by giving gifts to people that you don't know. And one of the things that is so important, and over the years I've been always thrilled. Well, I love the Christmas season. I love Christmas music. It was wonderful when my kids were playing Christmas music and we would do so many concerts, and one of the things that we would love to do concerts at seniors' homes and at children's hospitals. And we even went, almost every Christmas Eve, we went with a group and we played music around the neighborhood. We'd go to different houses, and just like in the movies, we'd stand in front of houses and play music, and most of the people came out, and many of them gave us Christmas candy. But we love that. We love Christmas. And it was funny, you know, we lived here, and it wasn't always cold on Christmas Eve, although this year it looks like it's going to be really freezing here in Florida on Christmas Eve and put everybody in the Christmas mood. But it is a wonderful time of the year to really feel the joy. And I, you know, joy is an important word for me, and I love to feel that joy. And from the time my kids were little, we used to play Secret Santa, and they would always give gifts, and I always let them make the decision where and to whom they'd give gifts. Sometimes they just know the right thing, and they think about it, and they just put a gift at somebody's door, and it was fun, and it was something that I enjoyed doing and that they enjoyed doing. And so now when I'm thinking about, you know, this time of the year, I'm thinking about how very, very happy and joyous I am with the people who have joined me on Joy on Paper. I want to thank again Rita Moreau. She does our book buzzes for mysteries, and it's just so much fun to have her here in the studio. She's known as One Take Rita, and she comes in and she does book buzzes. And in the new year, I think she's gonna have to spend an hour in here because all of the authors love when she does a book buzz for them. So now I know she's headed up to Snow Country right now today. And I want to wish her a very merry, merry Christmas and a wonderful trip up there. And keep warm. I'm sure she has all the clothing she needs for when she heads up north. And my brother, by the way, and my sister-in-law, who's probably reading one of Rita Moreau's books right now, they are in northern Michigan, and they are in feet. I don't know. Last thing I think was 6 feet of snow. But they love it. And one of the nice things, of course, is that they read. My sister-in-law reads Rita Moreau's books. She loves Rita Moreau's books. And we are so just very grateful for Rita and her wonderful stories. She has 2 series. And you can see more about her on her website, ritamoreau.com. And the Ghost in the Camper Kooky Mystery series is one that is just terrific. And I think you'll love it. And I also want, while I'm thinking about books and my sister-in-law, because she's gotten a book, I sent it to her, and it's High Spirits, which is written by Carol J. Perry, who is a good friend to Joy on Paper. And this is a Christmas-themed book, and it's really lovely. It's set here in Florida. It's part of her, book number 2 in her Haunted Haven mystery series, which received a starred review from Publishers Weekly. And High Spirits is a fun story. She has, it's set here with an old hotel inn that is haunted with a lot of famous people who came through Florida and came through our area in the olden days. And so everybody, there's a lot of ghosts there. And one of course, my favorite is Babe Ruth, who I love. And I'm always, I think of him every time I come to the studio because I drive past the golf course where Babe Ruth used to play golf. And I always sort of just make a nod and smile and like to think of Babe Ruth out there playing golf because he loved golf and he loved St. Petersburg. And he loved our Bel Air area where we have this lovely, lovely golf club, the Bel Air Country Club. And he played right there. And so it's fantastic for me to think about it. And you'll find him in High Spirits, which is the Carol J. Perry book. And then, of course, we just played Bria Burton and her wonderful sci-fi. I love when she does sci-fi book buzzes because she puts that real sort of scary little element in there. I love her voice. It's fantastic. But again, I want to thank Devon Miller. You know, Devon Miller, he came in here to do an interview about his own book. And I, you know, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock series. And the minute he sat in the studio, I think he had said 3 words. And I said, oh my goodness, Devon is a superstar. I need to have Devon do something with Joy on Paper. And I was so happy that he has joined us. And he is, you know, he spent, when he was young, he spent some time in the hospital. He learned to read and vastly everything he could get his hands on, and he learned to write, and he wrote this lovely series for kids, and now he's doing the book buzzes for kids' books on Joy on Paper. I love his voice. I love his enthusiasm, and I want to just thank him so much, and his parents are so blessed to have such a wonderful son as Devon Miller. Devon has encouraged everybody, of course, to think about children at Christmas. He himself goes around, reads to children, does a lot of volunteer work. He was appointed a Sunshine Ambassador for St. Petersburg. He's an amazing young man, truly amazing. And that's why I want to tell everyone that a wonderful thing to do is to play a Secret Santa or Secret Mrs. Santa, Mrs. Claus, and donate a book to a children's hospital, because this is a wonderful thing to do. It's something so important. Kids need books, and after the pandemic, when they stopped letting kids share books in hospitals, it was a very big problem. I know that I spoke to several of the hospitals, and they could not share books, and I'm not sure if they're starting to do it again. So that's a wonderful thing, and you can check here in town in St. Petersburg area. We have the John Hopkins Children's Hospital. But check, you can do St. Jude, you can do Shriners, and you can do, definitely you can donate a book, or as many books as you want. Just order them directly from Amazon or Barnes Noble and have them sent directly to the hospital. And it is just a kind and beautiful thing to do, making some child very, very happy. Because, you know, at this time of the year, it is very difficult for children who are in the hospital and for their families, and trying to cheer them up and trying to make them feel better. And there's nothing as lovely as having a new book in their hands, a book that they can keep, and a book that becomes part of their life. And it makes such a difference to a child to start reading at a young age. The younger you start reading and the more that you find joy in books, the better your life will be. I know I started reading when I was 2 years old. By the time I was three, like Beatrix Potter, who started reading at three. It is just something that fills your life for the rest of your life. I know people, as a matter of fact, the lady who lives up above me in the next floor, she's 103, and she's still reading. But I am so happy to welcome now to Joy on Paper. This is so amazing, and I am holding her book up to the camera. It is called The Truth About Mrs. Claus, and I am so happy to welcome Mina Harris to Joy on Paper. Hi, Mina.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it is so beautiful. I love this book.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Well, you have done a marvelous job, and now, of course, Keisha Morris, as the illustrator, has joined you in this wonderful project to tell us the truth about Mrs. Claus, and it is a fun book to read.
Thank you so much. I could not do what I do and be an author and tell stories without my talented illustrators, and Keisha is just brilliant and has such a unique style that almost looks like a paper collage with the texture that she brings in. And it's also so colorful and vibrant, and something that we really wanted to make this, to preserve that holiday magic. And I'm so grateful for her partnership.
Well, they certainly have done a beautiful production job on this. The pages, the cover, it's so gorgeous, all sparkly and bright. And I can just imagine a child getting this in their hands and saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So.
Yeah, well, it's such a fun part of the, you know, journey of being an author is seeing and hearing the reactions of kids and parents. So that's really just been so fun for me.
Well, you know, the story of Mrs. Claus is fascinating, and you have done a wonderful job. And tell us about this, because I love it, the entire idea, and I think it's been inspired by some important people in your life, right?
It is. Those important people are my two daughters. It's inspired by a moment we had together now almost 2 years ago, or almost, I guess, exactly 2 years ago, when my older daughter asked, you know, what Mrs. Claus was doing while Santa was delivering presents all over the world. We're already trying to raise them in a, you know, feminist household, getting them to ask those questions about where are the women, what are they doing, why don't I know about them? And it's like 6 or 7 in the morning with these kids trying to open their presents, and I sort of jokingly respond, you know, she's an entrepreneur, she runs the business. They know what an entrepreneur is at that, have already at that age because of me. And it was this funny moment that actually, you know, really got me thinking, why is it we never really hear about Mrs. Claus? We don't even know her first name. You know, what if Christmas couldn't be the special day that it is without her contribution? And it was that fun moment with my kids that really evolved into this story, which is so much more than a cute holiday story. It's definitely that. I definitely wanted to write a cute holiday story. But it's also about finding truth in your purpose, while acknowledging the impact of tradition and family legacy. And it's also about finding your own way, even if that might mean reshaping other people's expectations. And in that way, it's also about intergenerational learning and growth. And it's what became ultimately, you know, the story of Amalia and her relationship, Amalia the Elf, and her relationship with Mrs. Claus.
Well, I think, you know, you've hit on the right thing, because I think that Amalia was on this search, but I think what you're writing about is the absolute truth. I would have always believed that's exactly. There was mm-hmm. always somebody behind this great success story. And Mrs. Claus is definitely the one who is the one organizing everything. And it's really, I thought it was so clever. I love the idea of, well, let's say her office. I love her office. I think Keisha must have had fun doing that illustration.
It was so fun, and it really was fun in particular because we were imagining, you know, this character together for the first time and wanted to get every last detail perfect. And so that process with Keisha has been so special and fun.
Well, of course, you're very lucky. You had a wonderful grandma and mom who really, well, they've raised one heck of a girl.
Yeah, I mean, so much of my inspiration comes not only from the family I'm raising, but the family I was raised in. And a lot of that has to do with my grandmother, who was a huge figure in my life, who's a second mother to me. And taught me so much that I really think about not only as an author and what I put in my books, but also, you know, passing that on to my own children. And all of my books really draw on her inspiration and the wisdom and guidance that she provided me. And so in this book, she's actually the Mrs. Claus. She's that person in my, you know, corner supporting me and living and telling my truth. And I just feel so lucky that I have her inspiration and that I can really, you know, preserve her legacy through these kids' books.
Well, I think that's one of the things, as you say, you know, empowering young women and girls. And I think also boys will appreciate this too, because they recognize the spirit now. And they have moms who are working and who are doing things. And it's great for them to see that even Mrs. Claus is really out there doing the work that they know that their own moms are doing.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's for everyone. It's for boys as well to see inspiration and powerful, inspiring women. It, just as much as it's important for my girls. And we know that so much of that work in terms of gender equity and how we're raising boys and all children to view and value the labor of women, it really starts early and it starts in our homes. And it's really what inspired me to start writing kids' books in the first place, which is the understanding the power of children's literature to really impact children at such a formative time in their lives, where many of them, before they go off, you know, to school, are learning about the world through their families and through books. So I definitely think that this book is just as much for little girls as it is for boys and all children.
Were you an early reader as a child?
No, that is a great question. I'm going to have to ask my mom. I don't know the answer to it on my own, but I've always been very interested in storytelling, and I've always been creative. And, you know, again, much like Amalia the Elf, that's been a passion of mine, and I'm grateful that I had, you know, a family that encouraged me to find my passion and purpose in my creative pursuits.
Well, I assume your kids have a lot of books and started reading to them early on.
Yes, we started reading to them very early, and we all know that, you know, that's such an important aspect of, you know, teaching kids and helping them to learn language and interaction with others. And it's been really special, obviously, to do that through the medium of in some cases, my own book, you know. And so it's been really fun to get to share that with them, not only in terms of the stories that I'm sharing with them, but also, you know, my craft as an author and letting them see that and getting them interested in it.
Well, you know, people sometimes, when they're thinking about writing books, they assume that writing a children's book is easier. You know, they'll like start with a children's book, go up to middle grade, and then, you know, and work the way. And that's not true, because really a children's book is the most difficult book to write, because you have very limited time, very few pages to grab a kid and get them interested. And that's what you've accomplished here. You've written a story that kids will just want to turn the pages.
Well, thank you, and I agree. Writing kids' books is actually quite challenging, and for me, becoming a first-time author, especially, it was hard for me to... I'm a lawyer by training. We are not succinct people. We are verbose, and I was accustomed to a lot of, you know, elaborate writing, and as you said, that's really not, you know, the way that you translate stories that will capture kids' attention, and there's so much... sort of science and also just magic that goes into being able to do that. And it's so fun getting to see, you know, we're all guessing what will resonate, but actually seeing what ultimately resonates with kids. And sometimes it's surprising. It's these little details that they really, you know, get hooked onto, or other things that you wouldn't have imagined being of interest to them. And to me, again, that's just a fun part of getting to do this and sharing it with others and seeing how they respond to it.
So you've been able to get out there and read to children?
I have. This has actually been my first time getting to do that with a kids book, because my first two were COVID books. And so I've finally had the, you know, most cherished author experience of getting to actually read in front of live audiences and getting to read to children.
Oh.
So it's been a first time, very special experience for me with this book.
Oh, that's exciting. That's really exciting. And it was a shame that the other books were during that terrible time when authors couldn't get out there and meet their fans, but particularly to meet kids who are fans. That's fun, because when a kid is enthusiastic, they're enthusiastic.
Exactly. No, there's something just so special about that in-person interaction with kids and seeing their faces light up and getting to answer their very interesting questions. And hearing their own, you know, imaginations at work, right? That's what I love about kids' books. It's really sort of a building block and a starting place for so much more that's possible in terms of getting kids to imagine characters and experiences outside of, you know, perhaps their own experience or building on that. And there's nothing like, you know, getting to have that engagement with them in person.
Well, you know, I'm just so thrilled with this book, and I will have so much fun promoting it, because I also do events and I will go to places and I read to children, and I'll have this book with me because it's fantastic. Now, one of the things we do here on Joy on Paper is we do promos for books that we love, and I have a young man who has joined Joy on Paper. His name is Devon Miller, and he is just a brilliant young man. He spent a lot of time in a hospital when he was a kid. He became a writer, And he did a very special, what we call a book buzz for you. And we would like to play it. If you listen, and then we can talk afterwards.
Oh, that's so special. Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. Christmas is almost here, so you'll soon start seeing Santa Claus delivering presents to everyone around the world. But what about Mrs. Claus? What will she do while Santa is out and about? Well, you can find out in the new book called The Truth About Mrs. Claus, which was written by number one New York Times bestselling author Mina Harris and illustrated by Keisha Morris. The Truth About Mrs. Claus tells the story of Amalia the Elf, who comes from a long line of teddy bear makers. She loves everything about making teddy bears, except the bear-making part. Worried about letting her family down, she decides to talk to Santa Claus for advice. Only, it's Mrs. Claus who's the one to help, who also needs a little help of her own. Coming up with the idea of the book on Christmas morning, the book was inspired by Mina's daughters asking what Mrs. Claus was doing while Santa delivered presents. It further led Mina to know why we don't know much about Mrs. Claus, and led her to thinking that Mrs. Claus could be the one running the business behind the scenes, which is just as important as Santa's job. The book also serves as a reflection for Mina Harris, as it's also reflecting her own experience of having someone like her grandmother to be an advocate for her and to encourage her in her passions. An author who stays true to herself encourages readers to do the same, while also providing a bit of Christmas magic for the holiday season. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's Book Buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Okay, well, I hope you like that. Mina, are you there?
Oh, sorry, I'm here. I was on mute. I love it. I was saying I need to take Devon with me everywhere. That was perfect.
Well, you should. Thank you. Is a wonderful young man. He is so enthusiastic. He was named St. Petersburg Sunshine Ambassador. He spent a lot of time in the hospital, as I said, and he loves reading. He loves promoting books for children, and he would be great with you. He would love it, because as you heard in his voice and in my voice, when we get a book we love, we just want to keep talking about it and talking about it. And we will be playing this book buzz. We will be playing this book buzz all during this holiday season. We'll be playing it all this week and next week. And then we'll be playing it again next year at Christmas. We don't give up. We keep promoting books long after somebody's been on our program. So I just wanted you to know that.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It really means the world, and it's just so special to hear how the book resonates with you all, and I'm really grateful for your support.
Okay. Now, do you have a website, or how do people find more about you?
You can find me online at Mina in most places, and you can, of course, get The Truth About Mrs. Claus at a local bookstore if you're nearby one. If not, you can get one online.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that this, at local bookstores, I'm sure it's right up there near the front door, because it is so beautiful. I just love looking at it. I love touching it. And it's embossed. So I love when letters are embossed. It's beautiful. Mina Harris, you've done a terrific job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Really, thank you. For having me.
Well, it's been a joy to talk to you, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your family. And just thank you so much for writing a book that I know will give so much joy to so many children. And I always ask people, all my listeners, to play Secret Santa, or in this case, Secret Mrs. Claus, and donate a book to a children's hospital near you, or to St. Jude, or to Shriners Hospital for Children, because kids at Christmas, at all times of the year, need books, and they will love this book, The Truth About Mrs. Claus, written by Mina Harris.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, everyone.
Okay. Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. What a book. Okay. Well, that was so much fun. And as I said, it is a beautiful book. And I want to thank Mina Harris for being on Joy on Paper today. She's terrific. And she has other books. And she will be writing a lot of children's books because she is in tune with kids. And I just love it. And again, I wanted, again, to compliment Keisha Morris, who is she's a freelance illustrator. And she is so good. I got a kick out of these photos. And I'll tell you, I love Amalia, but I love the reindeer. Not everyone can capture a reindeer. And I thought her reindeer were so cute. It's a delightful, delightful book. And I think you will love it. And as I said, it is a book that if you don't have a kid in your family, make sure you get one. I know that my great godson, is getting one for Christmas, and because my goddaughter, Kanisha, is so beautiful, and she reminds me very much of Mina Harris, smart, bright, and hardworking, and enthusiastic. And so I am so happy that Kanisha is going to be able to read this to, well, Kiri is a little too young to read it yet. He's only just over a year old, but this book will be a treasure, I know, to him forever because it is a beautiful book. And when kids get these lovely books that they can hold and that they can keep for years and years and years, it just makes a difference in their life. And my goddaughter, who is so beautiful, she loves to read. She, as a matter of fact, we just went through NaNoWriMo, and she encouraged me a few years ago to do NaNoWriMo, and I did. And she's done it before and been a winner. And she's right now she's a little bit busy with the baby, but I know that she will be back to writing. And someday she's going to be a published author too, and she's going to be on Joy on Paper because she has the enthusiasm for writing and for reading. And I know that she's reading to my great godson, and I'm very, very proud of Kanisha. Anyway, everybody, get this wonderful book, The Truth About Mrs. Claus, and have a happy, happy day out there in the crowds, probably shopping. But anyway, stay safe and stay warm. And Rita, have a good trip up north and stay warm up there. Everybody, have a wonderful day. And say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He got it all organized today for me. Thank you, Big Ed. And he saluted me, more or less. Yes, yes, he did. And I should have been a general because I love it. I would bust everybody. Everybody. Bye-bye now.